sports videos. It's a guy that's running a race. And I believe it was one of those long-distance races, and they were coming toward the end, and he was on the last lap, and he got his feet tangled up. This happened to me when I was in the eighth grade in the city track meet. That's the reason I hate track from this day. It's not the only reason, but this is a big one. They make you run when you're in track, you know. But anyway, I was the anchor guy on a relay team. And we had a big lead. And so I'm reaching back for the baton when the guy comes to me. And we got our feet tangled up. And I went down. And they, on those days, they didn't have these nice rubber tracks. This sucker was a cinder track. And I went sliding along those cinders and my knees and my shoulders and getting all this. And by the time I picked myself up, I was behind in the race. And so I did finish the race, though. But our eighth grade teacher, who was our track coach, Mr. Cates, sometimes you don't forget names. He didn't even come down to see how I was. He didn't come. He was ticked because we didn't win that race. So my mom came down and she picked me up and chewed him out in front of the whole crowd. Way to go, Mom. The video I was telling you about is about a young man who had the same problem in that video, and he fell and injured himself. And his dad came out and picked him up. You ever see that video? And his dad helped him to the finish line. Guys, some days I feel like that, if not every day. I feel like I'm that guy and I've fallen, and every day God's meeting us and you guys are coming down and picking me up. Amen. And you're helping me get to the finish line. Hallelujah. Truly. And that's not just an opening dialogue, that's the truth. That you guys have been picking me up and carrying us and carrying Susan. And until you've been there, you just never know how much that means and how much you need it. You know, guys, we live in a world that's just suffering. The whole world's suffering. Creation is suffering. Spent some time in Romans 8 this week, and I want to read various passages from Romans 8 to you this morning and share some thoughts with you. Therefore, there is now, in Romans 7, you may recall that Paul got to the end of that, and Paul was struggling, like you and I struggle. He was struggling trying to be a Christian. He was struggling trying to keep the rules. He was struggling trying to obey the law. And it just left him in a pile. And he says, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I know I shouldn't do, I really love doing. And he went on like that for a while, and then he finally just exasperated, and he said, wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? And that's the last verse in chapter 7. The verse in chapter 8 says then, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now Paul felt condemned, and he was self-condemning. He was condemning himself because he couldn't keep the law. Can anybody in here identify with that?
Amen.
Have you ever condemned yourself because you're just not a good enough Christian? You just don't read your Bible enough. You don't pray enough. You don't give enough. You don't serve enough. Anybody ever had that problem? Because there are voices around from the evil one that will come and try to get us to live according to the law. Let me read on here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I don't think we get that. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. God condemned the sin in your flesh and mine. He didn't say, Peter, I want you to go out there and condemn your flesh. I want you to go out there and condemn the sin in your flesh. I mean, I've done that. Didn't help. I've done that and I've just felt worse. Everybody knows about guilt and shame and not measuring up and not getting there. It's one of the hard things about being a Christian. I think one of the things that men stay away from their Bibles, it's not just because we don't like to read, although that's generally true of a lot of guys, if not most of us. It's that that Bible is something supernatural. It's good for correction and rebuking. And so we just go, I'm not sure I need to be rebuked. I'm rebuking myself enough. I don't need any more help. And so we struggle with these things. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Can I get a hallelujah from the congregation? Now you can condemn yourself all day long, but God's not condemning you. You were condemned when you came out of the womb. You and I, we were born as sinners. We had a sin nature. And then God gave us the law, and he gave us the law. And you know what the law did for us? It broke us. All it did was prove to us that we can't keep it. I can't keep the law. Oh, I can keep some of it some of the time, but usually not so good. And I'm a lawbreaker. I don't like being a lawbreaker. I want to live right. When I was growing up, that was my testimony. I wanted to do the right things and say the right things. I had a heart to want to do it. I couldn't do it. It was so frustrating. I mean, that's why when I read that sentence in that Bobby Richardson story where he says, I finally realized I could be a professional baseball player and an uncompromising Christian at the same time. I went, how do you do that? Where's this uncompromising? When's that kick in? And that night I just said in desperation. Same thing Paul was doing here. Wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? It's just death, and that's what the law gives us. It gives death. Jesus came, and the whole message of the first seven chapters in Romans and the whole message of the Bible is that justification is by faith, and it's by the grace of Almighty God. And that's what he did for seven chapters. And then he up pops here, and he starts talking about the Spirit. He hadn't talked about the Spirit. He only mentioned the Spirit one time in the first seven chapters. And then he gets to chapter 8, and he mentions it about 20 times, depending on what translation you're looking at. So he unleashes the Spirit of no condemnation. Sometimes I just feel like I got to take a deep breath about this time and breathe that in. I got to breathe the no condemnation in. We're running races. We're falling down. We're not going to make the finish line without help. We live in a suffering world. The suffering world dishes out suffering, right and left. It scatters suffering with both hands and kicks it down the street. That's what this world is. It's a world of suffering. It's a world of losing, of failing, of not meeting the mark. That's what sin is. Sin is there's a standard for living, and sin is when we fall short of the standard. So legalism comes along and says you have to keep the law, you have to do better, you have to try harder, you have to work. Because if you don't, you're not going to make it. And you work and you try harder and you try to discipline yourself and you try getting in journey groups and you try going more often to church, even maybe show up at the prayer meeting. But you still are sinning and falling short of the mark. Wretched man that I am, what do I do with that? Where do I go with that? And sometimes you find out that all you got's not enough. Everything you got to bring to the table to be the righteous, holy, law-keeping guy is just not enough. And a lot of guys get exasperated, and that's about when they walk away. You know, we men, the thing that characterizes us as a general rule is if we can't do it quick and easy, we just quit trying. It's the reason I tell wives, don't tell your husband he's not a good husband. He'll make a profit out of you. Susan told me that once. She denies it. But I have never forgotten it because I couldn't argue with it. I couldn't defend myself. And I needed to hear that at that point in time. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. See, what we could not do, what the law cannot do, God did himself. God says, okay, I'm going to do it for you. In your flesh, you can't keep the law. In your flesh, you can't be good enough. You can't be righteous enough. You can't be holy enough. You can't read enough, serve enough, give enough. You can in your flesh. Just make peace with reality. It's the flesh of sin and death. The law gives us death. It just proves to us we're no good in that regard. We can't keep it. And so God says, you know what? I'm going to do it for you. I'll take care of this. I got this. And it's not anything you can do. We're saved by grace, unmerited favor, given toward those who don't deserve it by he who didn't have to give it. And so that's what we call the celebration of salvation. You put on the helmet of salvation. You know, all the other armor of God that we talk about, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes shod with the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, none of that's worth anything. You don't have any armor if you don't have the helmet of salvation. If you don't have that helmet on that says you got the Spirit of life now, you're not a slave to sin and death, you don't have to do this anymore. Oh, you will do it. You still sin. You'll still fall short of the mark, but you don't have to. And you have power to overcome. We just sang the song. He overcame. He overcame. And because he overcame, I can overcome. In my flesh, I can't. In my flesh, I need to be picked up and carried to the finish line. But Jesus Christ picked me up, and he's carrying me to the finish line. People are asking me, and I thank you very much for caring. How you doing? How you holding up? Because you look crummy. You look like you're the patient. You get in a picture with Susan, looks like you're the patient, not her. I can't argue with that either. But it'll wear you down. A lot of you guys have been there and done that. Where do you go? What do? You get brothers who carry you to the finish line. You get a Holy Spirit that's a spirit of life. It gives you hope when there's no reason to have hope. And it gives you dreams of a great future. I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. They're plans for good and not for evil. You know why? So you'll have a future and a hope. Don't lose your hope. You have a future. I don't care how long or short the future is or what the future holds. It'll be good. It's a good plan. So we believe that everything God does is good, and if whatever his plan is a good plan. I just have to be ready to accept whatever his plan is and rejoice in it. I get a chance to do that now. I have the Spirit of life in me. I'm not ruled by the spirit of sin and death anymore. And when I do sin, I'm not defeated by that sin. That sin has been forgiven. There's nothing that I'll ever do that can't now be forgiven, hasn't already been forgiven, and will be forgiven in Christ Jesus. That's what grace is. What I cannot do for myself, he's done for me and you. And I think he's a little bit tired of us living in the old flesh, being married to the same old dead body. I forget where it was, some ancient death penalty. But what they would do, and every civilization has had its execution methods. When Jesus died, it was a cross and crucifixion. In the French Revolution, it was a guillotine. Here in America, we've done electrocution and gassing, and some places it's firing squads. But we all have our ways of doing that. The way this culture did it was they would take a murderer, if that was his crime. They would strap his body to the person he murdered and just let it decay. And that guy died being strapped to that body. I don't think I'd want to be a murderer in that culture. Now, everybody went yuck when I said that. You ought to say yuck when you go, I'm tied to this body of sin and death. Say, I'm tied to, you're just tied to the body of sin and death. And Jesus says, why be tied to that decaying, dead body that gives you no hope and there's no future? Why don't you come to me and let me give you life? Let me give you all those things that you don't have that you need desperately in a suffering world. You're never going to make it in a suffering world. I mean, guys are killing themselves right and left because they have no hope. They can't make it. The law has broken them. They have no hope. They've not turned to Christ. The Spirit of life. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So here I am, this chief of sinners, as Paul says. Nobody can out-sin me. Nobody could. You guys were not going around killing Christians and throwing them in jail and persecuting them. That's what I did. I was doing it zealously. I was doing it righteously. This is the best thing I can do for God is to go kill a bunch of Christians. We have so few people like that around today. They feel like the best thing they can do is to kill us, and they're doing God a favor. And so Paul comes along and he says, look, that which I could not do for myself, God did for me. He condemned sin in the flesh. And God looked at us and he saw that in a fallen world we were sinners and we couldn't help ourselves. We couldn't fix ourselves. There's nothing we could do to make it right. As hard as we tried, we just can't make it right. And so this God of grace and mercy and compassion and understanding comes along. And this is what everything's rooted in, guys. It's that helmet of salvation. Every revival has been rooted in the fact that we have a God of grace who's justified us by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. That's the root of life in the spiritual world. That's what gets us coming, getting up every time. Now lay me down to bleed a while, only to rise up and fight again. But sometimes someone has to pick me up, help me rise up. And you guys have done that with me. You're doing that with each other. We need it. The old man code says, I don't need no stinking help getting up. But there'll come a time. There will come a time when all you've got is not enough. And you can't get up. And then that person comes along and helps out. And they put an arm around. And if they have to, and you remember maybe that story of World War I when these two boys grew up together. And they were in Kansas and they were farm boys and they had a blast. They went fishing in the fishing hole and swimming in the swimming hole. They worked on their dad's farms. They played ball together in high school. And then World War I broke out and they were going to war. So they got them to sign them up in the same unit so they could be in war together and be in the same army unit. They were sent over to France. And they found themselves in the trenches in France. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen all those movies. You probably have. And, you know, they just get up and go running into a machine gun. And so they made one of their charges, and these two boys took off, and they got out there, and the machine gun was leveling everything. And so they're all hitting the dirt, and then they hear the retreat call, and then they all retreat back to the trench. And he goes looking up and down the trench, and the one guy couldn't find his buddy. He wasn't there. And he says, I got to go get him. And the sergeant pulled him back in the trench. All you're going to do is get yourself killed. He's dead out there somewhere. No sense in you getting killed. You're not going anywhere. Sergeant walked off, and boom, out of that trench he went. He's crawling this from body to body all over the battlefield. And finally he gets to this one body, and it was his buddy. And he got there, and he was still alive. And his buddy looked up at him and said, I knew you'd come. Amen. I knew you'd come. And then he died. When it comes to Jesus Christ, you can always understand he's coming. And you can say to him, I knew you'd come. And you know how you know he'd come? Because you have the life of the Spirit in you. And that Spirit, as we sang up here a minute ago, is love. It's who you are. It's who you are. You're the Spirit of love. You're the Spirit of grace. You're the Spirit of coming and getting us. That's what he did, guys. He left his throne in heaven and descended into manhood, the flesh. He took on a sinful body, yet without sin. And he became the Savior. He became the righteous Lamb of God. He became the sacrifice that we couldn't be ourselves. And that there is none other. There is no other sacrifice for sin. God has offered one sacrifice, and that's in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of gods out there, and there's a lot of ways to get to nirvana or wherever you're going. But we have discovered, and the reason that we are so bent on Jesus being the one way and the one truth and the one life, and no man comes to the Father but through him, is because we know him and we've experienced it. We know it's true. That Spirit has borne witness in my heart that it's true. There are no other gods. They're all false gods. They're all fake gods, like we're talking about fake news today. They're all fake gods. They can't save. They can't relieve. They can't give hope that's not permanent. It's always temporary. It never lasts. It always leaves you hungering for more. And in Christ Jesus, we have all that we need. He's settled it all. And guys, the reason this is so important, the reason we talk about it right now, is because every day that goes by, I could be thinking about, and I do a lot and too much probably, I could be thinking about the matters at hand today, who we're going to see next, what pills is Susan taking, is her memory going to get any better? I could go on and on with all that. And it wakes me up in the middle of the night. And you know what I'm talking about, a lot of you guys. But I don't have to do that. What Susan and I have tried to do is just to think of all the things we're thankful for. Not to dwell on what we're going through, not to dwell on the circumstances, but think of all we have. And you know where we start every time, and when we say, what are we thankful for? We're thankful for our salvation in Jesus Christ. See, there's some things cancer cannot do. You know, cancer can do a lot. Someone sent me this little track. It says, what cancer can't do. Can I read you some excerpts? Cancer, just the sound of the word, fills our hearts with fear and dread. It's terrifying diagnosis. For many of us, this disease threatens to rob us of our health, our energy, our vitality, our sense of well-being. It endangers our ability to provide for ourselves and to take care of our families. It may steal our identity, our sense of purpose and significance. It can ruin our best laid plans, destroy our hopes and dreams. It's taken friends and loved ones from us much too soon. Cancer is a powerful enemy, but it's not all powerful. As we find ourselves in the heat of the battle, it helps to remember that there are just some things cancer can't do. For instance, it cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot destroy peace. It cannot kill friendship. It cannot suppress memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot steal eternal life. It cannot conquer my spirit. It cannot lessen the power of the resurrection. It cannot separate us from God. What can separate me from God? Certainly not cancer. Cancer's run me to God, closer than ever. Suffering, and that's what this suffering that says right here in Romans 8, this suffering that we're suffering now, cannot compare to the glory that's coming. And so when we're thankful, we have to start right there. Don't discount your salvation in Jesus Christ. If you do, you may not even have it. If you have salvation, glory in it. Raise up Jesus Christ. Thank him for dying on the cross. Thank him for taking my sin on himself. Thank him for giving me mercy and grace when I did not deserve it. I did nothing to earn it. I couldn't. All my righteousness is filthy rags compared to his. All my goodness, nothing compares to him. There's no God like our God. And there are just some things that he can't take away. And those are the things that keep men going. Those are the things that give us hope. Those are the things that drive us on. Those are the things that keep us from quitting and giving up. It's our salvation in Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the spirit of life. But there's way too many of us that are strapped to the old dead body of sin and performance. Sin and living up to the law. sin in keeping the law, when God has just given us grace. Who would want to turn down grace? Who would want to live by the law? Live by the body of sin and death when you have the great spirit of life giving you grace and life and hope. And see, our hope is not that we're going to be healed of cancer. Our hope is that we're going to Christ in heaven. We got a reward waiting there. And this is just a dress rehearsal for the righteousness that will stand before Him. And there's no condemnation. He's never going to look at us and go, "You're condemned. You never were forgiven. You never repented. You never came to know me. You had every opportunity and you turned it down." There'll be much gnashing of teeth at that point. But then there'll be others who'll say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. Enter the reward that I have for you." And this present suffering, whatever you're going through, it can't compare to the glory to come. Live for the glory to come, men. Live for the righteousness that we have when He looks at us and say, "There's no condemnation." He's got the white robes of righteousness. The blood of Christ has cleansed him from all sin. "Come in, my son. Well done, good and faithful servant." Live for that. I don't know how you've been living in the past. I don't know how you've been living before you came in here today. But I'm going to challenge, encourage you, exhort you to live for the glory that you have in Jesus Christ. Live today for that. Whatever God puts in, whatever God takes out, live for the gospel. Let God use it for the gospel. Don't make it about yourself all the time. This present suffering you're going through, see to it that you turn to Him in that suffering. You find your identity in Him, not in the suffering. You find your focus on Him and not in whatever you're going through. You have friends, remember? And they usher you into His presence. The suffering, the trials, the difficulty, the persecution. Christians have always gone through that. The world goes through that. The world is suffering. The world is dying. It's falling apart. It's coming apart. The immorality is rampant. But it's not with me. I've been saved. I've been set apart. I have a power that takes over where I can't do it. And so I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. I don't have to be a slave to all the negative, hopeless doubt that we all struggle with. And so let's declare ourselves free in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's declare whatever suffering you're going through, is that suffering can do a lot, but it cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And let's celebrate the gospel. Can you celebrate the gospel today? Can you celebrate knowing Jesus? Can you celebrate being saved? Because if you can't, maybe you need to come to know Jesus today. Maybe you need to give your heart to Him. Maybe you need to make Him Lord of your life. You've been playing on the edges. You've been working on the fringes. That doesn't work when the crisis comes. Because when that crisis comes, it's not time to prepare. You prepare now. You get your heart right now. You settle anything you need to settle with Jesus Christ now. If you have to say, "Lord, I've been sloppy. Lord, I've been slovenly. Lord, I've been lazy. Lord, I've been distracted by the busyness of the world and business and all these things that distract us and crowd into our lives. I've been giving myself to the business, to my gift, to my wealth, to my ease and comfort. I've been complaining about what I'm going through. And I'm not doing all things without grumbling and complaining. And I confess that to you, Father." And you know the beauty of that? He says, "If you'll confess your sin, I'll be faithful and righteous right now to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness." How would you like that? How about being forgiven for everything you've ever committed, all the sin right now, the sin that you've been doing, the sin that you don't want to do in the future? And when you do it, He gives you grace. And when you sin in the future, God gives you grace. Amen. When we confess that sin, when we bring it out into the light as He is in the light, when we do that, we have nothing to hide. We don't have to look over our shoulder. Just be a guy that fesses them as you does them. Make sure you keep no long accounts with the Lord. Keep them short. "I shouldn't have thought that. Lord, forgive me. Help me." Okay, good. You're forgiven and I'll help you. "Help me not do that again, Lord. I said it again. I did it again." He says, "I got it." Okay? Thanks for confessing it. You need to be that. Do that regularly. Keep it all, keep our relationship clear. Don't let anything get between me and you. And you know my prayer years ago, Lord, I just want to love you with all my heart. I don't want to have a problem with you. I don't want to doubt you. I don't want to stray away from you. I don't want to be distracted from you. And I don't want to be distracted from Susan. I want to love her with all my heart. I want to be the husband that she deserves. I want to be the man that she that has the power to make her life greater, to make it miserable. And if I'm miserable, she's going to be miserable. And everybody around me is going to be miserable. I want to be a guide to you. I want to be a guy that comes and encourages in your pain, encourages people. You ever been to a guy and you wanted to comfort him in the hospital and you walked out encouraged? You walked out, but he encouraged you more than you encouraged him. You needed to go see him. He didn't need you to come see him, but you needed to go see him because he has life. He has hope. He's not down. Everybody gets relieved when they see someone in suffering that's not under their circumstances. They go, well, wow, that's great. He's doing good. Because I didn't know what to say if he wasn't doing good. But now I'm just going to praise Jesus. I want to be like that guy. I want to have what he's got. And guys, that's the way God's called us to live our lives, to make people hungry for Jesus Christ. He's our explanation. He's our identity. He's the one we love. Because he first loved us. So you in or out?
Yeah.
Now, if there's something you need to settle today, go ahead and settle it with him as I close in prayer, okay? You got brothers around you. They may need prayer. You got Joseph's going to be over here. You need prayer. You just want some brothers. It'll be Joseph. Scott will be over there with him. Tom will be over there. You guys go over there and get some prayer with those guys. And don't if there's a thought in your mind that you're supposed to do that, don't let the devil talk you out of it. Get over there and get some prayer. You may want to pray for the guy that's right with you right now. When we close, just before you leave, just say, hey, let's pray together this week. I'll be praying for you. How can I pray for you this week? You pray for me. I know somebody is praying for me this week. We got to start doing that more, guys. We don't have a lot of time. Let's redeem the time that God has given us for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lock shields there, guys. And Father, that's what we're doing. We're locking shields for Christ. We're locking shields. We're celebrating our salvation in Jesus Christ. We're celebrating a God who forgives us of all sin and who takes it away, never to bring it back again. Thank you for the God that will never stand before you and hear you're condemned because we've been set free by the Spirit of life. And we just ask that we could be full of that life today. We ask that if anything that's between us and you, Lord, we're bringing it into the light. We're confessing it. If there's any man here that doubts his salvation, Lord, may he just settle it today and give his heart to Jesus Christ and be forgiven, be that man of God that the world needs today. The man who lives for Christ, has hope in Christ, has strength in Christ. And we're living for that reward that we'll have when we get to heaven with you. Help us shed this old body of death and live in the Spirit of Christ for your glory. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
amen.
Give them heaven, guys.
Love you, Pastor.
It's my birthday today. It's my birthday.